it's one thing to profess your faith. It is a whole different thing to live your faith. And even if you've been a Christian for 1 year or 10 years, we can all learn something from this book of the Bible.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is the book of James, chapter 2.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. That again is www.awordfromgod.net. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're continuing in the book of James, chapter 2, and it's not a very long chapter, but nonetheless, it has a lot to say about how to live as a Christian. Let's begin now in the book of James, chapter 2, starting with verse 1 through 4. My brothers, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come to your assembly a man with a gold ring and godly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile garments, and you have respect to him that wears the fine clothing, and say to him, sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand you there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? James is warning the church in his day, and us as well, that judging a person by their worldly possessions, by how much money they have, is a very, very wrong thing to do. In fact, it leads to evil judgment of other people. See, in James's time, it was very hard to understand how a man who had wealth could serve someone who perhaps was a slave at one time, or had nothing. And so James is warning against favoritism. And we have to be warned about it today as well in our own lives. We shouldn't be looking at what someone drives or what someone wears or what kind of job they have. We should be looking at their fruits. And that's how Jesus says that we will recognize people as Christians, is through their fruits. Now see, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the kingdom of God, because God is the one who ordains from the beginning of time what a person will have and what a person will not have. So who are we as mere people to judge another person based on materialism? Because I can tell you this from my own experience, money comes and money goes. And it's all up to God. And so you might look at somebody in church and see them in nice clothing, nice cars, a nice job, whatever the case may be. But you shouldn't uphold them in a higher position based on what they are outside of the church. You should judge righteously, righteously by their fruits. Now, I'm not saying that we should treat anybody differently based on the fruits in their life, but we should recognize Christians by their fruits and not by their outward materialistic things. And we should treat everyone equally. We should treat the rich and the poor with the same kindness, the same respect that we would ourselves. That's right. When we are addressing fellow human beings, and I'm not even talking about fellow Christians here. I'm talking about fellow human beings. We should love everyone and treat everyone with the same respect, the same care, and the same kindness that we ourselves would want to be treated, with no partiality to status or materialism or position. Everybody should be treated equally. Verse 5, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But You have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. Now see, what James is trying to drive home here is that the poor people have a better chance of seeing God, as we talked about in chapter 1, because their worldliness is not getting in the way of their vision of who God is. And the rich people have a tendency to oppress the poor. Yet he is saying, aren't the people that you're raising up in the church above the poor? Aren't those rich people the very people who are nothing but trouble and oppressors? Now, James is not saying, and neither am I, that every person who has money is troublesome or not righteous through Christ. He's not saying that. But what he is saying is that he is saying that when you take rich men who have been known to oppress you and who have been known to drag you into court, when he says, draw you before the judgment seats, when they drag you into court and they sue you and they take advantage of you, are these not the same people that you're now lifting up in the church? And maybe that's because sometimes people just have a feeling that when someone's got money around them, they need to impress them. They need to treat them differently. They need to treat them better. Money does not make a person deserve to be treated any better than a person who does not have any money. And that's really what James is trying to drive home here. If we fail to treat everyone equally, regardless of status, regardless of income, regardless of materialism, we commit sin. We got to be very careful of that. We got to be very careful that we don't look around the church and look at a man who couldn't afford anything but a pair of blue jeans to show up in church with in a church full of suits. That man in the blue jeans, surrounded by the suits, could have more love for God than every person combined in the church. We just don't know, and we shouldn't judge. Verse 10, for whoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. So speak you, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. Now, this is kind of a tricky set of verses here, but basically what James is saying is that you could keep every bit of the law, if that was possible, yet miss just one point of it, and you are guilty of all of it. In other words, if you so much as thought an unholy thought, then you are guilty of breaking the entire law. So what he's saying is that don't look at people and judge them, because if you do, you're going to have to look at yourself. And so he's saying to show mercy to everyone, just the way that God shows us mercy through Jesus Christ. And if we don't show mercy and forgiveness, the kind of mercy and forgiveness that God showed through his son Jesus Christ to each and every one of us, what makes us think that God is going to show that to us? We have to have mercy and forgiveness in our hearts if we want to receive it from God. Verse 14, what does it profit, my brothers, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and be destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Now, James isn't saying that we're not saved by faith alone, but what he is saying is that if you have true faith that saves, you will be doing the works of Christ. And so basically what he's saying is if somebody comes up to you and they tell you about their troubles in life and all you do to them is just wish them well, pray for them or whatever, one translation says just pray for them, but you do nothing for them, then you have done literally nothing for them. Now, prayer is important and wishing people well is important, but if somebody comes to you in need, and you had the ability to fulfill that need, then you should do it because that is an indication of your faith. In fact, If you find yourself denying people of their needs when you could be fulfilling them, you need to check yourself. You need to check yourself and your walk with Jesus Christ. Because I believe, my friend, if I may dare to say so, that anyone who turns another person down, not talking about just Christian brothers and sisters, I'm talking about anybody who turns down another human being who is in need, when they have the opportunity to fulfill that need, I would question whether or not that person has their walk with Jesus Christ on the right path. And you as a Christian, and me as a Christian, we should be checking ourselves every day and our walk with Jesus. We should not toss people to the side when it comes to their needs. We shouldn't be saying to ourselves when someone comes to us in a need, I don't have the time, or I just can't spare the money right now. God is the giver of everything that you have. And if you have the true Jesus Christ living within inside of you, then His Holy Spirit will be prompting you to help those in need. And if you deny that prompting, and if you deny that prompting from the Holy Spirit, you need to take a moment and do a reality check in accordance to your walk with Jesus Christ. Verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, and being alone. Yes, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God. You do well. The demons also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, what James is driving home about this faith versus works is not necessarily that faith saves you, but an indication that you have saving faith is displayed through your works. And he compares demons to challenge people with their faith. He says the demons believe that there's just one God, that God is real. The demons believe that. In fact, in the Gospels, some of the demons even address Jesus Christ as the Son of the Most High One, the Most Holy One, but they don't accept Him as a way of life. Jesus says, if you truly love me, you'll obey my commandments. And so the works that a Christian does, the good deeds that he does via the Holy Spirit, is an indication of his saving faith. If you truly have a relationship with God, a saving faith with God, then your works will be evidence of such. And that is what James is saying. He's not saying that the works save you. He is saying that the works show that you're saved. And then he uses Abraham here in verse 21 as an example. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son on the altar? See you how faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know, Jesus told his disciples, and he says it to us too when we become believers, I no longer call you servants. A servant does not know what his master's business is, but I now call you friends. And that's what God tells any one of us who believes in his word and does his word. So James is trying to drive home in this chapter that if you really believe God and you really trust him for your salvation, you will trust him with everything else in your life, including the stewardship over the things, including your time. And so basically, he is saying that if you can't trust God with these worldly things, how are you going to trust him with your salvation? Verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is very important to learn because too many Christians are going to church, living their Christian lives for themselves. And that is a selfish, sinful motive to come to God. And James is trying to say that when you believe God, and I'm not just talking about salvation, and neither is he, but when you believe the word of God, when you believe it and you get it in your heart, you want to live it. Why wouldn't you? If you believe something, you will do it. I knew somebody who went to the doctor and they were told to take medicine for their illness. They didn't believe that the doctor knew what he was talking about, so they didn't take their medicine. And guess what? They remained sick. They still didn't believe, so they went to another doctor who told them the exact same thing and gave them the exact same medicine. All this person did was go home and complain that the doctors they'd been seeing didn't know what they were talking about. It wasn't until they ran into somebody who had the same problem, who had the same medicine that took care of it for them, that they realized that they probably should give it a try. And you know something? They gave the medicine a try, and it worked. Now, this is what God is trying to say to us in the book of James. If we give His word a try, if we apply it to our lives, then God can work through our lives with His word. It's not enough to get up and say, I believe you, God, I believe you, God, I believe you, God. Jesus said, you call me Lord, Lord, and rightfully so, but you don't do what I tell you to do. I don't want to be that kind of a Christian. Have I been guilty of being that kind of a Christian? Oh, yes, I have been. And I don't like what I see in the mirror, because to me, it's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy to tell God I believe Him, yet not do what He tells me to do. God truly does know what is best for our lives. And until we align ourselves with His word, we don't get the true blessings that He's trying to give us. And neither do the people around us. They are shortchanged as well. What if I didn't obey God when He led me to this ministry? What if I said, nah, this is not what I want to do. I believe, God, that you're going to bless me in another way. Would I be benefiting anybody by denying what God had for me? Friends, as a Christian, you want to obey God in every single aspect of your life. And believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not, yes, God wants to bless you, but He wants to bless people through you. And see, it's very difficult to get anything out of God that you want Him to bless you with until your heart is aligned with the knowledge that God wants to take what He gives you and bless other people with it. You might be praying for a promotion at your job, but is your heart straight with God? Will you be a good steward of the new position that He's going to give you? Now, I know what some people are thinking out there. Some people come to God and they say, Lord, I really want this really bad. And if you just give this to me, God, I promise I'll do my best. I'll be a really, really good person. I'll stop whatever it is that I've been doing. I think probably most of us have prayed something like that in the past. But God is not a fool. Would you give your underage child keys to your car? Would you do that? No, you would wait until that child was old enough and trained to drive the vehicle. And you would make sure that even though your child was a skillful driver, that they would drive properly. Because even though somebody is trained to be a good driver and they're capable of driving safely and responsibly, does it mean that they exercise the ability? And see, that is what James is getting to in this book. You could be a very well-versed Christian. You could know dozens of scriptures by heart. But are you a responsible Christian? Are you yourself walking with God? Are you responsible in your own life? Because until you become an example of Jesus Christ, how can He truly bless you with the joy of the Lord if you yourself are denying His word in your life? And if there's somebody out there right now who's listening to this, and you've been denying the word of God coming into your life, you've been denying the fact that Jesus has died for your sins, I want to assure you that He did. God is not angry with anyone when they come to Jesus Christ. But if you do not come to Jesus Christ, then His anger and His judgment is upon you. And you will face God, whether it be at your death or if He was to come back before that time. But all of us will face God. Now, for the Christian, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. But if you're listening right now and you haven't done so already, then I would like to invite you right now to say this prayer with me and to begin your journey in the Christian life. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe You died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins and I accept You as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart and I invite you to come in. Wash and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin and I want to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are now in the family of God. And being such, I urge you to get yourself a Bible if you already don't have one laying around the house somewhere. Read the book of John. Find somebody that you know is living a Christian life. And get into a church. Get into fellowship. Being a Christian is much more than just professing your faith for Jesus Christ. The demons confess that. Living for Christ is a whole different matter. When you start living for Jesus Christ, you become a disciple of Jesus. And as a disciple, you will do works. That will be the evidence of your Christian life. Show me your works, James says, and I will show you your faith. Don't tell others about your faith only by your mouth. Let them see it in your life. Let it be so evident that the light of Jesus Christ shines through to the lives of others. Turn heads not with what you say about Jesus so much as what you do for Jesus. When people see your good works, they will see Jesus. And believe me, actions do speak louder than words. If you talk about Jesus and you don't walk about with Jesus, you are going to be convicted of hypocrisy. People will look at you and they will see you for what you are not, and that is a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Don't embarrass God. Don't embarrass yourself. Pray every day that God will show you where He can use you right where you are, and watch God work in your life.
This is Misha again. James will be back with a final word in just a moment. I just want to remind you again of how much James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. We have every episode of A Word from God archived online where you can easily listen to them. You can also subscribe to our feed and download the MP3 versions of A Word from God to enjoy at any time. There's even a section online that explains salvation. And if you know someone who isn't saved and wants to know more, just send them a link to the website. You just might be saving their eternal life by doing so. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. This video features a collection of paraphrased Bible promises that will help you start your day with praise and worship and will ignite your love for God in a refreshing new perspective. Sit back and relax to Bible scriptures covering four topics of God's Word. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God. Now back to James.
And in closing, I want to go over some scripture in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 12, and I want to touch on chapter 5, verse 6 in the book of Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Paul is arguing that you do need faith in Jesus Christ and faith alone for salvation. And in chapter 5, verse 6 of Galatians, he says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." And that last part is very important because it states that there are no works that a person can do if you don't have Jesus Christ, and that your works, the things that you do, are done by the love for Jesus Christ. Remember what the Gospel of John says. Jesus tells his disciples, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's one thing to profess your faith. It is a whole different thing to live your faith. And even if you've been a Christian for 1 year or 10 years, we can all learn something from this book of the Bible. It's very important that we take what God has given us in our lives, whether it be our job, our wealth, or lack of wealth, and use it for the kingdom of God. Everybody has a gift from God. Everybody does. And it's important that people use their gifts for God. And not only our gifts, not only our talents, but our time, our money, and our resources. All of those things are given to us by God in order to further His kingdom here on earth. And we need, as the body of Christ, to step out and use all of our resources as individuals and make a difference in the proclamation of the gospel. Pray today that God will show you what it is that you could do to step up your service in His kingdom. Now, maybe you're doing something in the church already. Maybe you're in the choir. Maybe you're an usher. That's fine. Those are all great things. I'm talking about what is it that you're doing outside of the church, Monday through Saturday, that could make a difference in your Christian walk and make a difference in somebody else's life. Pray today and ask God to show you where you can step up your walk with Him to a point where your works show your faith. I'm James Lindley for A Word from God, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.